When Rachel Lieben requests a divorce from her scientist husband, Eric, he becomes incredibly angry, consumed by a pure and terrifying hatred. When he is killed horribly in a traffic accident, Rachel thinks she has nothing left to fear, until Eric's badly damaged body disappears from the morgue, and she is stalked by someone who looks strikingly like her dead husband.
The kitchen had been wrecked. The white, lacquered breakfast table and two chairs were overturned. The other two chairs had been hammered to pieces against everything else in sight. The refrigerator was badly dented and scraped. The tempered glass in the oven door was shattered. The counters and cabinets were gouged and scratched, edges splintered. Dishes and drinking glasses had been pulled from the cupboards and thrown against the walls, and the floor was prickled and glinting with thousands of sharp shards. Food had been swept off the shelves of the refrigerator onto the floor. Pickles, milk, macaroni salad, mustard, chocolate pudding, maraschino cherries, a chunk of ham, and several unidentifiable substances were congealing in a disgusting pool. Beside the sink, above the cutting board, all six knives had been removed from their rack and, with tremendous force, had been driven into the wall. Some of the blades were buried up to half their lengths in the drywall, while two had been driven into their hilts.
"You think they were looking for something?" Benny asked.
"Maybe."
"No," he said. "I don't think so. It's got the same look as the bedroom in the Villa Park house. Weird. Creepy. This was done in a rage, out of fierce hatred, in a frenzy, a fury, or by someone who takes pure, unadulterated pleasure in destruction."
Rachel could not take her eyes off the knives embedded in the wall. A deep, sick quivering filled her stomach. Her chest and throat tightened with fear. The gun in her hand felt different from the way it had felt just a moment ago. Too light, too small, almost like a toy. If she had to use it, would it be effective against this adversary? They continued through the silent house with considerably greater caution. Even Benny had been shaken by the psychopathic violence that had been unleashed here. He no longer taunted her with his boldness, but stayed close at her side, warier than he had been. In the large master bedroom, there was more destruction, though it was not as extensive or as indicative of insane fury as the damage in the kitchen. Beside the king-size bed of black lacquered wood and burnished stainless steel, a torn pillow leaked feathers. The bed sheets were strewn across the floor, and a chair was overturned. One of the two black ceramic lamps had been knocked off a nightstand and broken, and the shade had been crushed. The shade on the other lamp was cocked, and the paintings hung askew on the walls. Benny stooped and carefully lifted a section of one of the sheets to have a closer look at it. Small reddish spots and a single reddish smear shone with almost preternatural brilliance on the white cotton. "Blood," he said. Rachel felt a cold sweat suddenly break out on her scalp and along the back of her neck.
"Not much,"
Benny said, standing again, his gaze traveling over the tangled sheets.
"Not much, but definitely blood."
Set in Southern California and Las Vegas, this thought-provoking 18-hour thriller is presented unabridged by Brilliance Audio and energetically read by narrator Sandra Burr.